that was asked a few weeks ago. I think about a month ago I said, if you had any questions on the Holy Spirit, throw them in the box because we were going to be dealing with that. I'm glad nobody did because this is going to take us quite a while. Now the question looks quite simple. The question is, how much does the Holy Spirit play in our lives? We're going to give some background on this, but we're not going to get to answer that this evening. So we'll try to deal with that part two in a couple of weeks. But probably everyone knows that the Spirit of God is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, where the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, as was the Father and the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father is often just referred to in the Old Testament as God. Jesus is usually called the angel of the Lord. Once he is called the commander of the army of the Lord in Joshua 5, verses 13 through 15. And the Holy Spirit is either called the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of the Lord. Well, in order to answer the question in the New Testament, I thought it would be profitable to look and see how the Holy Spirit was used in the Old Testament. And I thought this won't take long because Holy Spirit only occurs three times in the Old Testament. But unfortunately, the Spirit of the Lord occurs dozens of times. So there are a few things that we need to look over in order to get the background to answer this question. So we'd like to take a look at a few of the passages. We have not got time by any means to look at all of them in the Old Testament. First is the first mention besides Genesis 1. Is found in Genesis chapter 41, verses 37 through 39. Verse 37, beginning Genesis 41. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find," referring to Joseph, who had interpreted his dreams, "can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown all of this to you, there is no one as discerning and wise as you are." Now, I don't know how much Pharaoh actually knew. I don't know how much he had learned from Joseph, but he does talk about Joseph having the Spirit of God in him, which of course was true, or he would not have been able to give an interpretation of those two dreams that Pharaoh had. The Egyptians may have had other connotations of the Spirit of God, but regardless, they did say it right, even if they believed various other things in addition to that. Well, a second time that we come to this expression is in Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 5. And that refers to Bezalel. Let's take a look at this passage. Again, we're not going to read all of them, but we do want to notice a few. Beginning with the first verse of Exodus 31, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah.'" Okay, he's called him, but let's keep reading. "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God." Now, as we looked at Joseph, what did the Spirit of God enable Joseph to do? Interpret dreams. But here it's different. "I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom in understanding, in knowledge, and in manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And so we not only see that God called him to do that, but if you checked Exodus 35, you would find that he, in fact, followed through, and the Holy Spirit enabled him to do all of these things. And so that is a second occasion. Now, a third one comes from Numbers chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. And we'll just read here first. The implication is that the Holy Spirit was on Moses. Then he came upon the 70 and also Eldad and Medad who prophesied. So let's go to Numbers chapter 11 and notice how this is implied and what it says. Numbers chapter 11, beginning with verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, gather me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take of the Spirit that is upon you. So the Spirit of the Lord had been upon Moses. I will take the Spirit upon you, that is upon you, and will put it upon them, and they will bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Of course, the problem was, all of the problems were coming to Moses, and he had to take care of them all, was wearing him out. So God put the Spirit that was upon Moses also upon the 70. And so they then had the wisdom to deal with these matters. And so that occurs in verses 24 and 25. But we also read in verse 26, but two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them. And now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. And so this is supernatural knowledge, supernatural wisdom that these people have acquired because God has given it to them to function in these particular situations. Now we want to go to a fourth instance, one that involves Balaam, who prophesied, and we go to Numbers chapter 24 and verse 2. And as we look at that passage, we read the following words. And Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And that's when he arises and blesses the nation of Israel. He had been hired, you may remember, to curse Israel, but he blessed them. Now he had said previously that he could not go beyond the word of the Lord back in Numbers 22:18. Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. And so he got his message from the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came on him. And of course, this was repeated a couple of more times. Next, we want to go to Joshua, Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9. This, of course, Joshua was going to be the successor of Moses, and we know how that Moses had the Spirit of the Lord as well as the others that God gave the Spirit to. In Deuteronomy 34:9, we read, "Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, and so the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses." All right, now we want to go to the sixth one, and now we start really branching out. We've had some specific people and some specific situations, but the farther we go, the more that is said. So in the book of Judges, the Spirit of the Lord came frequently upon the men who delivered Israel. Let's take a look at the first one in Judges chapter 3 and verse 10. All of the others will say something very similar to these. "The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, the king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim." So this also takes place with Gideon, chapter 6, verse 34, Jephthah, chapter 11, verse 29, and it said that the Spirit of the Lord also came upon Samuel, not only in chapter 13, verse 25, but four other times we find this. And so the purpose seems to be what? Well, in Othniel's case, to give wisdom to him in terms of judging, because the judge would have to resolve problems that arose just like Moses had to, just like Joshua had to, but also for the battle. The Spirit seems to empower the leader who goes out and fights the Lord's battles. Now we come a little later in the Old Testament. We come, number seven, to Samuel. Samuel told Saul at the outset that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him and he would prophesy. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6. So let's notice that. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6. "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." Verse 10 is the fulfillment of what he was promised. He was also given the Spirit of the Lord, which roused him to defend Israel. Let's go to chapter 11, verse 2. "And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, 'On this condition I will make a covenant with you, that I may put out your right eyes and bring reproach upon all Israel.'" Those were terms of surrender. Well, naturally, they were very perplexed, and they didn't want to submit to all of them losing their right eyes. And the submission that would follow after that. So they contacted Saul to deliver them. And we read this in verse 6. "Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly roused. And he managed to get all Israel to come together and fight, so that this would not occur." So we see again, in terms of being valiant, the Spirit of God came upon King Saul. And so he was able to successfully then defend the nation of Israel. Now later on, we see a very sad verse, and we want to keep this in mind because of something that happens later. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14, we read that the Spirit of the Lord would depart from Saul. And we read that in verse 14, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him." So the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him, but now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. However, if we back up a verse, we can see that the Spirit of the Lord instead came upon David. Verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. His job done in selecting the new king for God to take the place of Saul. However, even though now the Spirit of God was upon David, God was not done with Saul. He sent messengers to capture David, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. Now that's an unusual thing, do you not think? He sends messengers to capture King David, and all of the messengers break out in prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord has come upon them. Chapter 19, verses 20 and 21. Let's read that particular text. 19, verses 20 and 21. Then Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the group of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as leader over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when Saul was told, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. Then Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. I guess Saul was kind of a slow learner, as respects these things. He keeps trying to capture David, and these men are made to prophesy instead. So after all three of these occasions, then what happens? Well, let's read verses 23 and 24. So he sent there to Naoth, to Ramah. Then the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he also stripped off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Therefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets? So he sent these three groups out. They all turned to prophesying. Saul decides he will take care of this himself, and he ends up prophesying. Now, what do you suppose was the subject of their prophecies? That's an interesting question. We don't have an answer. But I would imagine that probably praise of God was included. That generally is the case. Do you think there might have been something in those prophecies about pursuing and persecuting the innocent? That would be interesting to find out. Well, we don't really have Saul's response to all this listed in the text. The text just goes on. But let's return to David. It should be obvious that he was inspired in light of all the Psalms that we find written, especially when you consider the prophecies he wrote, such as Psalm 16:10. In the book of Psalms, number 16 and verse 10, David is credited with writing these words. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Isn't that what Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost? He was quoting Scripture. He was quoting what David read. The people regarded David as a prophet. And that's because the Spirit of God had come upon him, as we looked at earlier. So we find David prophesying of things pertaining to Jesus several hundred years in advance. However, in case anyone missed it, there is a passage in which David says something that you can't really miss or misinterpret. Going back to 2 Samuel chapter 23, let's notice verses 1 and 2. Now these are the last words of David. Thus says David, the son of Jesse, thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. Not only do we have prophecies in the Old Testament given by Daniel that are later fulfilled a few hundred years later, we also have ones that are not fulfilled until the New Testament era. In Psalm 16:10, is one of those. There are others. And so truly the Bible is a unique book from that respect, is it not? Well, we want to next look at, while we're on the subject of David, the fact that he mentions something maybe based on what he observed with Saul. Let's look at one of the three times that the word Holy Spirit, that phrase, is actually used in the Old Testament. And that would be Psalm 51, verses 10 and 11. Remember, this is David's psalm of repentance. After he had been called to account by Nathan the prophet and was expressing his sincere repentance over his sin with Bathsheba. Notice what he says in verses 10 and 11. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast away me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. God had taken it from Saul. David is pleading, please do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David knew that God had withdrawn that spirit from Saul. What's the difference? The difference is Saul never repented. Now, you know, you might read through the Old Testament and say, oh, well, yeah, Saul repented several times. Well, sort of. It was very short-lived, though, wasn't it? He may have temporarily admitted that he had sinned, but then he resumes the same course shortly thereafter. The difference is that unlike Saul, David repented of his sins. Now let's, while we're on the subject of the Holy Spirit, let's look at the other two times that phrase is used in the Old Testament. And that would be in Isaiah chapter 63, verses 10 and 11. Isaiah chapter 63, verses 10 and 11. Now, we're just emphasizing that the entire phrase is only used three times. Obviously, the concept is in all of these passages, even though he's usually called the Spirit of the Lord or the Spirit of God. In Isaiah chapter 63, verses 10 and 11, we read, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, and he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. This is a rehearsal of Israel's history and continuous rebellion against God. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he who brought them out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within them, who led them by the right hand of Moses? This, it is thought, is a reference back to what we looked at in Numbers 11. Where God took the spirit that was upon Moses and put it upon the 70, as well as Eldad and Medad. Let's also notice that God remembered these old days, and Nehemiah also discusses this in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 20. Nehemiah says, "You also gave your good spirit to instruct them and did not withhold your manna from their mouth." And so this is the time of Moses. "And gave them water for their thirst." So God had done all of that. But the people died in the wilderness. Then, as time progresses, they are taken captive because they have not appreciated the word that was delivered to them by the Holy Spirit through the prophets. Now, having come this far, let's just point out there are dozens more passages of Scripture that talk about the Spirit of God. But we want to look at just a few in a moment. There are some in connection with Elijah. And we want to turn to 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 12 for that one. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 12. In that text, we have a prophet who was not willing to go to Ahab and say, "Elijah is here." Well, why would he not want to do that? He explains, verse 12. "And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from you, that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place I did not know. So when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth." He was afraid that the Spirit would take Elijah somewhere else. And you might think, is that possible? And by the way, we have Elijah being taken up into heaven in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2, don't we? But actually, that occurs in the New Testament. You remember in the New Testament how that after Philip baptized the eunuch, the Spirit of the Lord caught him away, and he was found at Azotus, Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. So the Spirit of the Lord could do that to Elijah or Philip or anyone else that he so desired. The Spirit of the Lord came upon one captain who came to help David. We're not going to look up the rest of these. I'm just going to mention them briefly. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 18. The Spirit of God was involved in the plans for the temple. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 12. You know, Solomon just didn't make that up. He was given wisdom by the Spirit of God. And there are many more prophecies. Here are just a few that involve the Spirit of God in the Old Testament. There are prophecies about Jesus, such as Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on Jesus. There are other prophecies given by the Spirit of God concerning Jesus. There's a prophecy of those in the New Testament receiving the Holy Spirit to be able to prophesy. Remember, as Peter quotes from Joel 2:28, "The Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. Your young men shall see visions," and so on. That is a prophecy is what would be happening in the Lord's church. And it came by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God allowed those people to prophesy in fulfillment of Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. So, after looking at all of these and considering all of these, what do we actually learn about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? And is this going to be similar in the New Testament? Well, here's what we've seen. The Holy Spirit enabled people to prophesy, verified prophecy, but He enabled people to prophesy. In the Old Testament, how many passages did we look at where the word prophecy was mentioned in connection with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord? Do you think we might find that in the New Testament? Well, Joel 2:28 already says we will, doesn't it? But we're going to find that people prophesy by the Spirit of God in the New Testament as well. Then second, the Holy Spirit inspired special knowledge and wisdom. Do you think that might happen in the New Testament? Are there not a couple of spiritual gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom? Some people even think that James was talking about praying for the spiritual gift of wisdom, but not necessarily so. We can all pray for wisdom. But in these cases, it was granted supernaturally. God can also provide wisdom providentially, but in these cases, it's clearly supernatural. You don't just happen to know how to build all of the things pertaining to the temple. You don't just happen to have those abilities, especially for the tabernacle when you've just come out of Egypt and your main job was making bricks. You don't really have the skills to do that. God provided that knowledge for those people. And there would be special knowledge that people would have in the church because there was not time for everybody to have been taught the things that they needed to know to become spiritually mature. And so some had special knowledge and wisdom in order to be able to accomplish those things. And then we saw strength for battle. So these are the three key things. Now, we also mentioned the Holy Spirit transporting Elijah somewhere else, the possibility of that. We know he did it with Philip. But the things in relationship to individual persons are enabling them to prophesy, giving them special knowledge or wisdom, and providing them strength to do God's work. And so that's what we find as a background then to what the New Testament will teach on that subject. This evening, these are quite a few things to think about. And we do note that we had prophecies concerning the resurrection of Christ by the Spirit of the Lord through David. And we mentioned that that was mentioned or preached on the day of Pentecost. Is there anyone here this evening that has not received that message? That has not been yet convinced that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day? It wasn't something that somebody just claimed. It was prophesied in advance, several hundred years in advance. David wrote that prophecy probably around 1000 BC. And yet it's not fulfilled until the day of Pentecost in the New Testament. Amazing the Word of God, how it is. But we can't just look at it and say, that's amazing. We have to respond to it. And the way to respond to it is to do what Peter told those on Pentecost to do. We're all witnesses of his resurrection. And people asked, what shall we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. Most of us here have done that. But we know people who have not. And there may be some here who have not. We want to invite you this evening to consider this. If you need more instruction, we haven't got the Spirit of the Lord upon us, but we have the Spirit of the Lord revealing the answer in this book. That's why it's been assembled together. That's why we have it. That's why we study it. the Spirit of the Lord is the one who produced this volume. It may have been written down by man, but the Spirit of the Lord produced it. And so if you need to know more, please let us know. If you are already a child of God, then we ask you repent if you need to. If you have done something to bring reproach upon the church, we invite you to come. Or if we can help you spiritually, let us know. Come while we stand and while we sing.